You're listening to another life-transforming message from C3 Church San Diego. For more information on our church, go to c3sandiego.com.
Grab your Bible, lift it up in the air, wave it like you just don't care. Say, this is my Bible. It is the sword of the Spirit. It makes me a deadly force against the powers of darkness. It makes me a mighty ambassador for the kingdom of God. Tonight, Heavenly Father, take the words from this book, plant them deep into my heart, and bring forth for your glory a great harvest. Amen. Come on, give God one more great shout. Come on. Hey, can we thank the musicians and singers, man? Weren't they fantastic tonight? You guys were on another level tonight. That was so good. You may be seated. It's getting serious. Hey, Emerge. Emerge. Somebody did a plug for Emerge this morning saying there's a high chance that you'll come home injured. And like, we're trying to get people to register, but it is a men's conference. And it is physical, it is spiritual, it's a little bit of emotional, but so I just want to encourage you. There's nothing like it. We took a long time to start a men's conference. Leanne felt straight away that she wanted to start a women's conference. She heard from God straight away that it was to be called Cherish. And so she started year one. We didn't start this till year five. And because it took me about 5 years, because I didn't want to do what every other men's conference had done. Most men's conferences make men feel guilty and shameful for being a man. And so come to our men's conference. We're going to make you feel guilty for being a man and try and make you more like a woman. You know, it's like, we can't figure out why men ain't signing up. You know, it's like, so we decided there's a great book, Eldridge, Wild at Heart. And he had some very, very powerful principles in there that Adam wasn't created in a garden. Eve was created in the garden. So her first experience is everything's in order, everything's in structure, everything's beautiful. The flowers are in bloom, they got fragrance, there's fruit, it's just awesome. Adam was created in the wilderness. He was created in the wild, and God placed him in a garden. He wasn't created in the garden, he was created in the wild, he was created in the rugged, he was created in the rough, and then he was placed in a beautiful botanical garden. And so there's something about men. So that's why we decided, well, let's kind of do something along those lines. And then men love competition. Men love competition. Doesn't matter where you go. Men love competition. One guy will spit and the next guy will try and spit further. Ha, beat ya! It's like, I didn't know it was a competition. I would have tried harder. You know, it's like, everything's a competition for men. And so we thought, well, why would we make men feel guilty? So it's full of competition. And men like winning stuff. So it's all about winning stuff. And men like physical contact. So it's physical contact and some bravado. And then at the same time, there's instruction and teaching around empowering men to lead. And a few years ago, when we were still able to contain it into a building, we had our men's conference up at our North campus. And when I stood on the platform, I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me. And he told me as clear as anything, there are many men here, but they've lost their roar. They've lost their roar. And I said, oh, that's an interesting thing. What do you mean? And he said, the alpha lion will roar just to let the other lions, and especially the young male bucks, know that this one's in charge. And he said, what the devil has done, he's come in like a roaring lion and he sought to remove that alpha cry, that alpha roar from men. It happens through being laid off at work, being terminated, going through a divorce, or having a mishap with one of your children. It's amazing how the devil will come and begin to disqualify, because he knows if he can take away your roar, if he can take away your roar, he can take away your authority. If he can take away your authority, he can just come in and plunder the house. And so it really, you know, if I was honest with you, from that time, literally every year from that time, our men's conference has pretty much doubled in attendance. There was something that shifted in the spirit. And so our goal is to put the raw in men, to put the alpha. And we do a rite of passage for our young boys, because in the Western world, we don't have a rite of passage. I remember watching, you know, the movie 300, and the Spartans, when the kid gets 10 years of age, they send him out into the wild, and they can't come back till they've killed a wolf, you know. And so we don't quite go that extreme, but we certainly have, they have to run the gauntlet. And the gauntlet isn't easy. You know, my youngest son has done it 4 years in a row, and every year he finishes in tears because you're running and there are men with beating, knocking them down, and on there is like fear, rejection, lust, hopelessness, you know, addiction on these things, and kids have to run through, and you've got football star on, you know, big Andre John knocking people down. We had a few guys we had to pull back a little bit because they seemed to enjoy knocking down too much. But the kids get up, and then when they get through, so it's not easy, they have to fight a giant. Well, last year they had to fight a giant. They had to, you know, push their own weight across the field, and then they had to run the gauntlet. And then at the end they get a medal. And, you know, and the dad has to put it on there. And I'll tell you what was interesting was, you know, I ran it obviously with Tommy, my son, and, you know, watching him get knocked down 4 or 5 times to the point of tears, getting up, looking at me, and I wanted to help him. I wanted to help him, but I had to let him go through. And when he got through to the end, he's crying, and I'm putting the medal around him. I'm crying, he's crying. It was a powerful moment. You're a man. Because, listen, you know, excuse the language, but we wussify men in the church. We create a fictitious environment that somehow, you know, when you go out into the workplace, Jesus is going to send angels. Like, everyone's going to sing Kumbaya. What? There's a devil who roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. There was a predator in the garden. There was a serpent in the garden. There was a violator in the garden. We have to teach our young people that you are going to get knocked down. You are going to take a few beatings. Life isn't always going to be fair. There are going to be contrary winds. But you know what? If you've got a God in your boat, he can speak to the wind and speak to the waves. The key is just make sure he's in your boat. Just make sure Jesus is in. Just make sure he's in your boat. There's a lot of people sail out on their boat and they think they're around Jesus, but you want Jesus in your boat. You want to have authority. And so we want to actually raise up a generation that know how to operate in spiritual warfare, that know how to walk in power, that know how to bind. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And that doesn't come by telling them a fictitious Disney reality. Anyway, all right, that's enough. All right, come with me in your Bibles to, oh gosh, it's all good. Let's go to Genesis chapter 8, Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. The title of my message tonight is Love Laws, Volume 2. Welcome to all of those watching on live stream, Sydney, Australia, or Australia, if that's you, beautiful Sylvia. God bless you, my beautiful prayer mum, you're amazing. And if the person watching from San Diego, or the people watching from San Diego, if one of those is my son Ash, you little punk, you needed to be in church. Sometimes you just got to call them out. All right. Title of my message, Love Laws 2. Love Laws 2. All right. Genesis 8, you're there. Genesis 8, 22 says this. It says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease while the earth remains. So this is post-flood. This is post the great deluge where God destroyed the whole earth with a flood. The earth was destroyed with a flood. This is not only a scientific fact, but it is in every single language group. On every single continent, over 512 stories of a global flood where one family survived. When missionaries first came to Australia, you need to understand the evolutionists came to Australia, wiped out the entire Tasmanian Aboriginal population. They won't tell you this in school. But they wiped out the entire Aboriginal population in Tasmania because they believed that the black person was less evolved than the white person. Again, they won't teach you that in school either, but that was the motivation for the teaching of Charles Darwin's Origin of the Species and its preferred races. That's the proper name. And so they decided, hey, well, let's just take some of these back and maybe we can fit them in between an ape skull and a human skull. And so they just kept killing, trying to bring skulls. And, well, the skulls actually look as just the same as every other human skull. So we ended up losing the entire population. But what the missionaries found as they began to speak with the Aboriginals and learn the Aboriginal tongues was the Aboriginals have their folklore, which is what they call their dream time. And in their dream time, they have a story of creation. They have a story of Adam and Eve, and then they have a story of a worldwide flood where one family was saved through a boat. Now, you need to understand that the Australian continent had been separated for thousands and thousands of years. This is before the missionaries got there. This is before there was any Judaism, and yet they have a story in their dream time of a global flood. So this is now post-flood. God says, let me just tell you some laws that are going to be in motion. He says, while the earth remains, these are some factors. I'm trying to help you, Noah, is what he's saying. Noah, let me just tell you, everything's shifted. The atmosphere is different. Lifespans are going to get drastically short. Dinosaurs are going to die out because they can't survive because the canopy that once surrounded the earth is all gone now. And so everything has shifted. So everything's going to massively decrease. The earth, there's a tilt on the earth's axes. Because of the global flood. So we have, you know, you can have three months where there's no sunrise in Alaska, and then you have 3 months where there's no sunset because it's the tilt on the axes, the way it's tilted. And so there are some laws in motion. And the law is seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. So I want to give you three laws that are going to help you with relationships and help you with dynamics. Now, how many people here have ever heard of a guy called Isaac Newton? Sir Isaac Newton. He was a British natural philosopher who, he didn't invent the law of gravity, or, you know, he kind of discovered, or really he defined it. It wasn't until the time he discovered the law of gravity that people just kind of... Hey, what the, you know, and then he found it. Oh man, thank God somebody found the law of gravity. You know, I'm not floating up into the flight path of oncoming Boeing 747. You know, it's like the law of gravity was there. We knew it was there, but we didn't understand it until he kind of defined it. But it was already there. So God has set laws in motion, and many of these laws are invisible. Now, if you are ignorant of those laws, let me just tell you, it doesn't help you. It doesn't help you. If you get on the edge of a building and say, well, I don't really believe in the law of gravity. Here's the thing about God's Ten Commandments. We talk about people who break the Ten Commandments. Moses came down, he broke the tablets. But you actually can't break God's laws. All you can succeed in doing is breaking yourself against them. Because God's laws are eternal. God's laws are immutable. They wrote them on stone, but you need to understand that they're more secure because they're written by the finger of God. They're declared by the creator of the heavens and the earth. Who can undo what he does? Who can speak against and tear down what the Lord has established? So it is wise for you and I to understand his laws. So then the Wright brothers come along, Orville and Wilbur Wright, and they begin to discover that not only is there a law of gravity, but there's also a law of aerodynamics known as the law of lift. That when there is thrust, it creates air moving over the wings of a plane that then allows that thing to supersede the law of gravity. And actually, gravity works with it now because there's an invisible law. Now, we didn't understand this law. For thousands of years, men has lived on this planet. For thousands of years, men believed that they would never fly. In fact, many philosophers, Socrates and everybody else, said if man was meant to fly, God would have given him wings. And yet today we fly all over the world because there was a law known as the law of aerodynamics or the law of lift that was there and somebody discovered it. So here I want you to know that in Romans chapter 8 verse 2, it says this, there's another law. It says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So there is a law of sin and death, but when you come to Christ, it's like the law of lift. You supersede the law of gravity. You supersede the law of sin and death, that you can actually have life. Come on, somebody. You can have life in Christ Jesus, that you can soar at a new level. You can change the trajectory of your life. While I was under the law of sin and death, addiction, I was hopeless. I was struggling. I was stuck. I wasn't going anywhere. The trajectory of my life was not good. But then Jesus Christ stepped into my life with a brand new law. The spirit of life in Christ Jesus changed the trajectory, smashed the bondages, broke off the chains and shackles, and set me on a new course. Somebody say amen. So I want to give you three laws that are good for you and I to know. The first one is the law of sowing. Let me give you all three because I'm looking at the time and I know I'm not going to possibly finish. But the first one is sowing. The second one is seasons. And the third one is cycles. The first one is sowing, the second one is seasons, and the third one is cycles. The Bible says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. Today, your life and my life is a harvest of whatever I sowed or whatever I allowed to be sown into me yesterday. So I found that I sowed, I made decisions. You know, I didn't study, I watched TV instead. And so my life today is a product of whatever I sowed yesterday, but I'm not the only sower into the field of my heart. Into the soil of my soul, there are also parents or teachers or other people that have spoken things. You're hopeless, you're useless, you're an accident, you're not going to amount to my other people that have spoken stuff into my life. And so therefore I look at my life and there are some things that I'm happy with and there are some things I'm not happy with. And God says it's really simple. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest. If you don't enjoy your current harvest, if like you're harvesting potatoes, and you're like, man, I hate potatoes. All these years, potatoes, potatoes, potatoes. And then next year, you kind of looking out through the window. What are you looking at? I'm hoping this year we get something other than potatoes. Oh, what seed did you put in the ground? Potatoes. People say, you're an idiot. Of course it's going to be. If you want to change the harvest, you've got to change the seed. That's why you're the smartest people in San Diego, because you come and you sit under the teaching of the Word of God. Because I'm telling you, when you allow the word to go in, do you know the word repent? You see all the way through the Bible. I know street preachers love that word. Repent, you're going to burn in hell. Repent, you know. It's like, well, and most people think repent means to, you know, kind of feel, you know, overly sorry, remorseful, you know, cry. That's repentance. Repentance literally comes from two Greek words, metanoia. Meta, which means to transform, to change, and noia is knowledge or thinking. So repentance is to change the way you think, to change the way you think. So what I found with the scripture, what I found with leaning into the Word of God is I replace my thoughts for His thoughts. Because the Bible says, God speaking, that my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So what I've discovered, if I want to walk in God's ways and if I want to enjoy elevated paths, I have to get rid of my stinking thinking, my thoughts of limitation and lack, and I need to begin to allow God to do you know that He's always thinking thoughts towards you? Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. I want you to notice it doesn't say, I know the thoughts that I think about you. Most people read that scripture and they change the word accidentally, subconsciously. They put in the word,
The Lord thinks about me. Isn't that lovely? Thank you, Lord, for thinking about me. Oh, not anymore? Okay. Well, you got 7.3 billion children. You probably moved on.
Nowhere does the Bible say the Lord thinks about. He's not sitting up in heaven going, yerks. He doesn't limit his thoughts to being about you. Watch this. The Bible says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. He's thinking thoughts toward you. What kind of thoughts? Glad you asked. It says this. It says, good thoughts, not evil, to give you a future and a hope. To give you. So God is broadcasting 24/7, 365 days a year. He is broadcasting thoughts towards you. The goal for transformation is the capture of just one of his thoughts. The Bible says, if I was to count your thoughts, what are your thoughts towards me? For they are too wonderful for me. Yet I found that God would think thoughts towards me and they would hit me. I've got a plan for your life. I love you. You're awesome. And I would dismiss it because I never heard those words from my earthly father. So it dismissed that, saying it's just wishful thinking. Where did that even come from? How could that ever be? God, let me give you the laundry list of all my disqualifications, why I don't deserve your grace, why I don't deserve your mercy, why I don't deserve such a future, why I don't deserve your loving kindness, why I don't deserve to have such great purpose, why I disqualify myself from your purposes and plans and from a good future. And then God had to begin to teach me to stop that, to stop myself from rejecting and resisting, because grace is only grace when it's undeserved. If you deserve it, it's not grace, it's wages. Most of us reject God's thoughts, that he has a future for me, that he loves me, that he has a purpose, that he has you in the palm of his hand, that he rejoices over you with singing, that he's engraved your name into the palm of his hand, that he watches over you, that he hems you in before and behind, that he protects you, that he set angels around about you to watch over you, lest you dash your foot again. Most of us reject those thoughts, but if you can just allow just one of them to come in, to have a different harvest, you've got to change the seed. And there's no greater seed that you can sow than the word of God. Can somebody say amen? So let me just take it a little bit further. I taught this last time. I need to teach it again. You have to learn to feed what's feeding you. In a relationship, no matter what the dynamic is, you have to feed what is feeding you. If you have a job, your boss is paying you a wage and a salary, it is in your best interest to feed what is feeding you. You feed that by turning up on time or a few minutes early. You bring a great attitude. You make a decision, I'm going to be a blessing to the boss. I'm actually going to take stress off his plate. I'm going to take the burden off his shoulders, and I'm going to turn in a great day's work. You'll find that if you feed what is feeding you, it'll go well with you. In a marriage relationship, the key is to discover what your spouse's food is. There's a great book called The Five Love Languages. So you need to understand what your spouse's love language is. You know, my Leanne, I think she kind of ticks all five boxes. I still haven't figured it out. And she won't tell me. She's like, no, it's all five. I'm like, okay. So it's quality time. It's acts of kindness. It's gifts. It's, you know, it's like it's all of them. And it just depends. You know, sometimes it's a massage. It's changed. Oh, it's changed, you know. And men are different to women, okay? God took the rib out of Adam's side, made Eve. So Adam's longing is physical. So Leanne says a man's needs are pretty simple. Words of affirmation, physical touch. Adam was alone. Eve talks to him. He's like, words of affirmation. And she was taken out of me. I want to be one with her again. Physical touch. Men are pretty simple. They're the two. But for a woman, God created her relationally.
She wants to talk. She wants to talk about stuff. Adam, what y'all think about that coconut tree? Do you like coconuts? What do you think about that? I really like pineapples. You like pineapples? I really love pineapples. Yeah, pineapples grow on the ground, but you're not really sure. And you know, avocados? I love avocados. And then citrus fruits? Oh my gosh, can you believe God made citrus fruits? It's just so awesome. What are you doing, Adam? Fig leaves? I don't even like fig leaves. What about palm leaf? And she just, because she's made relationally. So you got to figure out your spouse's love language, because you got to feed what's feeding you. You got to feed what's feeding you. So let me go to number two, because the time is ticking. Number two is seasons. Number two is seasons. You know, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1, Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1 says this. It says that there is for everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. So while the earth remains, God said, seed time and harvest, cold and winter, day and night will not cease. So in other words, God says, listen, that there's going to be sowing and reaping, seed time and harvest, but then there's also going to be seasons. And you need to understand your seasons. You need to understand the season that you're in. So we know right now in the physical realm, we're in a season called winter. Or we're coming out of winter into spring. But we've been in winter. So what does the scripture teach us about winter? What does the scripture teach us about summer? What does the scripture teach us about spring? Well, really interesting, because in the summer, in Proverbs 6 verse 8, it says, look at the ant that has no captain or ruler, yet the ant gathers her food in the summer. So summer is a season of gathering. Summer is when the harvest comes in. The Bible says in Proverbs 10 verse 5, I think it is, that the wise son gathers his food in the summer. The shameful son doesn't do that, but just sleeps idly by. So summer is a season to not just gather, but also store up. So there are summer months. Summers are harvest. Summers are fun. The days are long. The sun's bright. There are beach days. But in the midst of all of that, there's a saying, make hay while the sun shines. But then there's a winter. Everyone will go through a winter period. Everyone will go through a winter season. Because God says there'll always be seasons. And a winter is death. A winter is difficult. A winter is, if you look at the trees, if you look at the plant life, in the fall, the leaves fall, but winter is death. The reason it's death is because God is continually cycling, and you can't have a resurrection, you can't have new life, spring, until there's been a death, winter. And so God just does that every year. He just cleans things out. That's why I thank God that we have a brand new year. I thank God that this year is 2017, and there are some things of 2016 I'm glad to put to death. I'm glad for the seasons, and I'm glad for the cycles. But the Bible says this, it says, the lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during the harvest and have nothing. The lazy man will not plow because it's winter. It's cold, it's raining, the ground's frosted, it's hard. He won't plow because it's winter, but there will come a harvest. Whatever season you're in, the seasons change. And there will come a harvest, there will come a summer, and when summer comes, you'll have nothing because you neglected your winter. So you have to learn what your season is. Springtime is the time to sow the seed. Everything's warm, the earth is warm, everything's budding, everything's opening up. There's rain, everything's saturated. It's the most fertile time to sow seed. So you've got to sow your seed in the spring. Spring, the Bible teaches, is powerful. Spring is a time to advance the vision. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 11 verse 1, in the springtime, in the time kings went out for war, David stayed behind. He should have gone out for war. He should have gone out to take territory. Instead, he stays behind. So we think, okay, well, he just was forsaking taking territory. No, he stayed behind, but it was spring. So he's up on his rooftop and he looks and he notices a naked woman swimming on top of her rooftop pool. And so he inquires, who is that woman? They said, oh, it's the wife married in covenant with Uriah. But it's the springtime. It's the time where the vision is advanced, where territory is taken. So he takes her and she becomes pregnant with his child. So he tries to bring the husband back to cover it up, but the husband has more integrity than the king, refuses to lie with her, so he has the husband killed. And the whole kingdom goes downhill after that moment. But there was a time that he should have gone out to war. He should have gone out. His vision was meant to take ground out here. Instead, he was taking ground there. You got to know your spring. Can I be a little bit vulnerable with you? I was in Assemblies of God minister, Assemblies of God pastor. Every year we had to sign an affidavit that we would not drink alcohol. In exchange, we got cheap auto insurance. It was just how it worked. And then I joined C3, and, you know, in C3, they go out afterwards and they have a glass of wine. I'm like, oh, far be it from me, Pastor Phil, that alcohol should touch my lips. I'm a youth pastor and I'm an example. And I don't want to, if a young person sees me with it, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And so anyway, about maybe 2.5 years into being Phil Pringle's youth pastor, he was taking his son snowboarding and his son couldn't make it. So he said, hey, Yurik, you want to come with me instead? I'm like, flip. 3 days snowboarding with Pastor Phil Pringle. Let me pray. Hello. Yeah. So I go. First night, we're sitting there and it's snowing outside and there's an open fire and we've ordered filet mignon and then he's got a bottle of red wine. And he's like, Yerkes, you know, you want a glass of red? I'm like, well, Pastor Phil, you know, wine. He says, you know, it really enhances the flavors of the food. And I'm like, well, if it enhances, okay. So I had you know, glass. I'm like, oh, that's pretty good. And then I'm about halfway through the second glass, and all of a sudden, I just kind of feel good. I feel good, do-do-do-do-do-do, like I knew I wouldn't. And so I just kind of feel bold. And so I start speaking before my brain starts filtering. I start speaking before my brain has a chance to filter. Out of my mouth come these words, Pastor Phil, how do you not fall? I'm like, oh, you idiot. Oh, he's going to think that I've got sin in my life, which I do. He's going to fire me. Oh, no, you know. And because, you know, I'd seen better men than me. And it was this hidden, buried fear that I had. Because some of my heroes had fallen. Some of my heroes had done the stupidest things and lost their marriage and the respect of their children and lost their ministry. And I'm like, man, and it was like this fear, but I'd never vocalize it. And now I'm kind of a little bit, you know, kind of happy. And all of a sudden the words come out of my mouth. And I'll never forget Pastor Phil's response. He goes, yeah, it's real simple. And I'm like, it is? He goes, yeah, three things. Three. I can do three things. I can't promise I'll remember them all, but I can do them. He goes, yeah, three things. Number one, sleep with your own wife. I'm like, I like my wife. Yes, I can do that. Checkbox. Okay, what are the other two? Please don't let them be hard. He goes, number two, spend your own money. I can do that. I can spend my own money. He goes, number three, build buildings. I said, I got number one. I understand number two, but numero tres, no comprendo. He said, you've always got to have a vision in front of you. You've always got to have a God vision that is keeping you in faith. He says, you are never more vulnerable when you've got nothing to do, when you're idle, when you're not taking territory. Listen, most people run away from the stress or the pressure of a vision, of warfare, of taking territory, of stepping out in faith, of taking a risk. But you are created with eyes in the front of your head to take territory, to take ground. So most people in their springtime sow the wrong kind of seed and then reap the wrong kind of harvest in summer. In spring, the time kings go out to war. If you want to live the life of a king, understand it's springtime and I'm going out for war. I'm stepping out in faith. I'm going to write that book. I'm going to start that company. I'm going to launch out a franchise. I'm going to send in my application. I'm going to start this new course. I'm going to undertake this spring, the time to go out for war. Number three, last one. Number three, understand. Now, let me just say this. I wrote it down and I didn't tell you, which is very bad. Friendships are seasonal.
Friendships are seasonal. Understand, friendships are seasonal. My best friend in high school that I would still tell you, oh, we're like that. I just haven't spoken to him in 32 years. But in high school, he was my best friend. We did everything together, but that was for that season. So you'll find that friendships are seasonal. Marriage is not seasonal. Marriage is for all seasons. That's why it's a covenant. It's not a commitment. It's not a certificate. What's the point of getting married? All it is a little certificate. It's not a certificate. It's a covenant. Therefore, if you want to enjoy all four seasons, we recommend at C3 that you date someone in all four seasons. Because when you just date them in the spring, when you just date them in the summer loving had me a blast. Summer loving happened so fast. Met a girl crazy for me. So you know the song, Summer Lovin'. But here's the truth. Summer will end. Fall will come when all of a sudden the leaves fall from the tree. And everything gets a little bit cold. It turned colder. That's where it ends. So I told her we'd still be friends. Then we made our true love fly. Wonder what she... Anyway, and so... Stop it. So, but then there's winter. There's no response. It's difficult. It's a date people through all four seasons. Because you may think, oh my gosh, he's so cute in the summer. But he can be a jackwagon in the winter. She may be so warm and loving and kind in summertime, but winter, she a whole... And you... And marriage is all four seasons. Marriage is all four seasons. Is this helping anybody? All right. Number three, last one is cycles. Cycles. Sowing, seasons, and cycles. So while the earth remains, summer, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. So the earth operates in cycles. I'm not sure if you notice this, but there's a solar system where everything goes in a cycle around the sun. Everything is in a cycle. It's cyclic. My wife is cyclic. Every woman has a cycle. Every 28 days, she has a cycle. Therefore, I told her that she is beautiful, but that was last month. Her body's gone through a cycle and it's all washed away. I need to tell her again this month. I bought her some flowers. That was last week. She had a cycle. So, why are you living in the past? I need to get with the program. I need to buy her flowers today. We had a date night. Last week was the most awesome date night. What do you mean you forgot? What do you mean I never take you out? What about last week? Oh, that was, she cycled. There are cycles. You need to understand that there are seasons. There are sowing and there are cycles. The earth is wonderfully cyclic. Do you know the Bible talks about the grass that feeds the ground? It's interesting because if you talk to someone who's in horticulture, they will tell you that if you cut the lawn, the best thing you can do is leave the grass clippings on the ground because it feeds the ground nitrogen, phosphorus, and these incredibly rich nutrients that are actually released in the dying blades as they go into the ground. Yet, the ground feeds the grass in the first place. The ground feeds the grass, you know, water and nutrients so that it can live. And when it dies, it feeds the ground. So the grass feeds the ground, and the ground feeds the grass, which feeds the ground, which feeds the grass, which feeds the ground, which feeds, it's in a cycle. It's in a cycle. So it's important that you and I understand our cycles. You've got to feed what's feeding you. You've got to bless what's blessing you. You've got to love what's loving you. Your car gets you from A to B,
But if you neglect your car, if you stop feeding, if you stop servicing, your car is going to break down because it's the law of cycles. You have to love what's loving you. You have to bless what's blessing you. That's why the Bible speaks about the tithe. Why do I bring about the tithe? Because I want to honor and elevate the God who wants to honor and elevate me. I want to bless the Lord who is looking to bless me. And so because I'm being, you need to bless what is blessing you, honor what is honoring you, elevate what is elevating you, exalt what is exalting you, love what is loving you. It's called cycles. The ocean does the same thing. The ocean through evaporation gives up billions and billions, like billions of liters of water every day. That water evaporates and forms the clouds. Those clouds go over the land where they go up, and as they go up, the temperature drops and it precipitates, otherwise known as rain. It falls on the mountaintops, goes into the rivers and the streams so that all wildlife can have something to drink, and it all goes all the way back into the ocean. Now, if the ocean was to say, that's it, I'm not evaporating anymore, I'm done with this cycle, everything would die. But because the ocean gives, knowing that as it gives, as it releases, it comes back, pressed down, shaken together, running over. In the same way, the Bible tries to teach you and I about the cycles of God. And so many people are either ignorant or unaware of these cycles. And so they don't understand the greatest thing you do. The greatest thing that Leanne and I ever did was discovered the cycles, discovered the love laws of God so that we could begin to come into line. You want laws working for you, not against you. You want gravity working for you, not against you. You want the law of lift working for you, not against you. Come on, somebody. Well, there are love laws, and the greatest thing you and I can do is have them working for us, not against us. Amen? Amen. Man, I'm out of time. Oh, gosh, I got so many good things. Oh, Jesus. Let me pray. Just close your eyes, bow your head. I do want to pray for some people, and I promised Pastor John that I would. So let me do this first. If you're here tonight, and even if you're watching on a live stream, and your life's not right with Christ, maybe you're away from God or you drifted away. If you're here in this building or watching online, and your life's not right, you slipped away, you fell away, listen, it is so easy. You and I live in a world that is constantly trying to pull us away from God. I'm not sure whether you notice this, but being a Christian is literally going against the flow. It is swimming upstream. But let me just tell you this, even a dead fish can float downstream. But it takes some courage to go against the flow. So it's easy to drift from God. It's even easy to get disconnected. But you know what, church? Church is all about reconnecting you with God. God has great plans. He has great purposes. He has a great destiny for your life. But the first thing you got to do is make him Lord of your life. The first thing you got to do is invite him into your heart. Give him the steering wheel. Give him control. I did it 32 years ago on a beach. Haven't regretted a day since. The greatest thing I ever did was gave Jesus the controls. And I got to tell you, he's not a grandma driver. Sometimes I think he thinks he's a Formula One driver. And I'm like, Jesus, this is not NASCAR. Will you slow down? But it's awesome. You just hang on for the ride. He's got the ride of your life. He's got a life far beyond what you can do. For 18 years, I tried to live life my way. No good. When I gave my life to him, I can't even believe the places that he's taken me, the things that I've seen, the opportunities I've undertaken because of his great hand upon my life. That's what he has for you. But it does require you surrender. If you're here tonight, you're saying, man, I need to make that surrender. If you're here tonight saying, hey, I need to give him the controls. If you're here tonight saying, man, you know, I slipped away, I fell away, I walked away, turned away, I need to come back. Or if you're here today and you're just far from God and you know you need to come back, if you're watching online and any of those relate to you, would you let me pray for you right now? If that's you, would you just raise your hand where you're seated right now, and I'll see your hand and I'll pray for you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Who else is there? Thank you over there. Thank you. Thank you up the back. Who else is there? Who else is there? Would you raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I know there's somebody else. Thank you over there. Thank you, sweetheart. I see your hand. Who else is there? I feel like there's somebody else. God bless you up the back. I see your hand. Who else is there? I feel like there's someone else. Thank you through there. Thank you through there. Thank you through there. Thank you, sweetie. I see your hand. Thank you, young man. I see your hand. Who else is there? Thank you, sir. I see your hand. God bless you. Is there one more? I feel like there's still someone. I feel like there's still someone just having a wrestle right now. Thank you. No, there's still someone else. Who is it? Thank you up the back. I do see your hand. Thank you. Is there anybody else? I am out of time and I need to pray, but I'll just wait one more minute. Is there one more person? Is there one more person? One more person. I'd love to pray for you. Thank you. I see your hand, sweetie. Anybody else? Quickly. Quickly. Thank you, champ. I'm proud of you. Thank you. Anybody else? Church, can we? Thank you, champ. I see your hand. God bless you. Can we do this? There's so many of you that raised your hands. I want to pray for you tonight. I want to pray for you powerfully, and I want to pray for you personally. So I'm going to ask you to do this. In just a moment, I'm going to invite everyone to stand. I'm going to have the band. They're going to sing a song. As they sing that song, I want you, if you raised your hand, grab your friend and just find the aisle nearest to you. I'm actually going to get down off this platform. I'm going to stand down here, and I'd love to shake your hand, and I'd love to pray for you personally. If you're sitting with someone to raise their hand, would you say, hey, listen, I'll walk with you. Sometimes it's not an easy thing to get out of your seat and get prayer, and your courage and encouragement can just be the thing that makes the big difference. Never ever, the greatest thing anybody ever did for me was brought me to Jesus Christ. So if you're sitting with someone, raise their hand, bring them to Christ. If you're sitting by yourself and you raise your hand, you still come, because I'll be your friend tonight. But church, why don't we stand to our feet? Let's put our hands together, and up the back and on the sides, those of you that raise your hands, come on, would you begin to come? Sir, ma'am, would you come? Come on, let's put our hands together as they come. Come on, we can do better. Come on, let's give them a great round as they come. Come on, come on. These people a great round of applause. Come on. I'm so proud of you. Was it Alexis? Is that right? God bless you, sweet. I just heard the Lord say that His hand's on your life, not to fear, not to be afraid. And there's been some things, just even in the last week, that have tried to put fear in your heart. And God would say to you that I'm with you, not just when the sun shines, but I'm with you in the storm. And I'm with you in the difficult, and I'm with you in the challenge, and I'm with you in the valley. When David walked into the valley to face Goliath, this is what David's testimony was. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, where I could literally feel death hanging over me like a shadow, he says, I'll fear no evil, because I know that God, you're with me. And I just felt God tell me to tell you that He's with you. He's with you not because you're you know, so holy and got all your religious liturgy together. No, no, no. That's not what is of value to God. God's with you because He loves you. Do you know you're the only you that He's got? He doesn't have another replacement for you. He is so in love with you, and He is for you, and He's going to help pull the fear out. He's going to put faith in, and you watch what's going to happen with your life. You keep walking with Him and you watch, in 6 months' time, you won't even recognize how good your life is. God's hands on you. God bless you. God bless you. Can we stretch your hands out towards these beautiful people? I want you to pray a prayer with me. Just a real simple prayer, but it's a very powerful prayer, asking Christ to come into our heart. Here's what I found, is not only is He the creator, the all-powerful creator of the universe, but I found that He is beyond my understanding of His love for you. It's one thing to have power. It's another thing to have that power engineered and directed according to His love for you. the greatest thing I ever did was I invited him to come into my life. And I've got to be honest with you, my life was a mess. And I've never found he came in judging. I never found him come in finger pointing and condemning. He actually came in, believe it or not, with overalls and a mop. And I'm like, Jesus, what are you doing? Stop that. Oh, you know, you're the creator of it. And he's like, no, I died on a cross to wash away your sin, to wash away your shame, to wash away your guilt, to wash away your... I'd love to tell you he only had to do that for a week. And ever since that week, I've lived a holy, spotless... Jesus, you got the overalls? Yeah. There's nobody like him. Nobody like him. So you're inviting a God into your life right now who's all powerful. But I've got to tell you, equivalent or maybe even greater than his power is his love for you. Trust him. You watch what he'll do. I've been following him for 32 years. I've yet to see him do anything negative to a person. But every single person in 32 years that has trusted him with their whole heart, their life has only soared. Okay, you ready? So come on, let's pray this prayer with these beautiful people. Let's say these words out loud. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you tonight that you so love me. You sent your only son, Jesus Christ, on a rescue mission to save my life. Lord Jesus, thank you that you picked up the cross and you died on it, washing away all my sin, all my wrongdoing, so that tonight I am forgiven. You took the punishment my sins deserved so that I could have the blessing that your life deserved. I declare tonight, Jesus, you are my Lord. Heaven is my home. God, you are my Father, and I am your child. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's give these people a great round of applause. I'm so proud of you. So proud of you. So proud of you, Chris. Proud of you. Standing over here is a guy called Ryan. What I'd love you to do, give me 1 second, Ryan. This is Ryan over here. We want to give you a Bible. We want to love on you. We want to pray for you. He's good. We want to pray for every single one of you. We want to give you a Bible. We want to put something awesome in your hand. And standing right behind you are some of the best people in our church. They'd love to love on you, take a second to look after you. So would you turn to your right, my left, and would you follow this handsome young man, Ryan, who's married to beautiful Jay. Come on, let's give him a great round of applause. I'm so proud of you, man. So proud of you. So proud of you. Come on, let's give him a great round of applause as they go. Thank you, Mike. Would you lift your hands to heaven? Lift your hands to heaven. I do hear the words fresh oil. Sweetheart there with the white and the gray. Yeah, you. What's your name, sweetie? Nadia? Strasvuitje? No? Okay. Beautiful. I love that name. What an awesome name. Just lift your hands. I just hear God telling me to tell you this. And I don't think I've ever prophesied this before. But you've actually walked through something and God actually has dispatched an angel. He's actually dispatched an angel because it was unfair, it was unfounded, and it was satanic in its origin against you. But I just see the Lord has sent a mighty angel with a flaming sword. And the angel stands over you, he stands watch over you, and no more. I see it right now being nullified. I see it right now being shut down. It is shut down. Whatever the enemy sent against you, and I see it especially over your mind to bring confusion, I break it now in Jesus' name. And I declare Nadia is a daughter of God. I declare right now freedom and blessing and anointing and a great future. She doesn't have to compromise. She doesn't have to settle for second best. That God, you've got the greatest life for Nadia in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Isaac, 26 sleeps, right? Would you hold Colby's hand? This is Isaac and Colby. They get married in 26 days. Lift your hands to heaven. Father, I just thank you for this great couple. Great couple. Great couple. Don't ever think that when you kind of finished up at the internship that you were just now volunteering and kind of the ministry thing was fizzling out. No.
your role at the lot, your promotions at the lot were due to your faithfulness, because God was teaching you. And sometimes he has to take us into the marketplace to teach us ministry things. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over these 5 talents. I'll make you ruler over 10 cities. Sometimes God has to put us out into the marketplace. He has to put us into that place. And I just see God has not left you. He's been by your side. And the very things that you learn in leadership, and the very things that you learn in management, the very things that you learn in character and integrity and punctuality and diligence, the very things that you learn here, you begin to apply out there only to find that it promoted you. But I see that these are not the final promotions. And the Lord wants you to know that even though there's going to be success there, the success will result in a spillover into here, and that God has ministry in your future. There's an incredible call on your life. There's a preaching gift and a preaching anointing on your life that will be activated. And Colby, don't just think, sweetheart, that you're just a beautiful hospitality organizing administrator. There is an anointing on you to also preach, to also declare, to prophesy, to see. You're going to see and you're going to unlock. God is going to teach you how to use your words to unlock things in the spirit over people in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's give him a great round of applause. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 amen. The lady with the beautiful pink scarf. Yes, what's your name? Maria. Buenas noches, Maria. That was terrible. I apologize. But lift your hands, Maria. I just see God just fresh oil coming on your life. Fresh oil, fresh oil, fresh oil. God wants you to know, ask. The oil that you were walking, the anointing that you were walking was good for yesterday. But God wants to refresh you. He wants to refresh you. And I just see it's almost like the enemy has tried to bring as much discouragement as you had hope in your heart. And I see God pouring out fresh oil. Do you know it's the oil of the anointing that breaks the yoke? Isaiah 10:27. The anointing breaks the yoke and smashes and removes the burden because of the anointing oil. And I see God pouring fresh oil on you. I see blessing on you. I see hearts turning in your family. I see your familia coming to Jesus Christ. I see a change. I see a change. I see them coming to Christ. I see them exalting Jesus. I see them praising Jesus. I see it over you. I see the blessing of God over you. Blessing of right now, if you've got a family, friend, a loved one, or someone who's away from Christ, would you lift your hands? There's an anointing here. There's anointing. I want you to do this. I want you to do something powerful. I want you to say their name out loud. I want you to say their name out loud. And I'm going to pray right now, Father, that there would be a dispatch of angelic host. Come on, how many people know that Hebrews tells us that angels are just ministers sent to serve those who are to inherit the kingdom? That's you and I. They are flaming ministers. They are flaming ministers sent to serve those. So say their names right now. Father, as you hear these names, Father, dispatch angels. Father, right now we come against every lie and deceptive work of the enemy over these lives to keep them out of the kingdom, to keep them away from Christ. And we declare they are coming into the house of God. We declare their hearts are turning even now. We declare those who are backslidden, those who are prodigal are coming back. They're coming to themselves. Right now they're having a come to myself moment. They're seeing the emptiness and the vanity of drugs and booze and partying, and they're coming back to Christ. They're turning back to their Father's house. They're saying, how many in my Father's house have bread enough and to spare? And here I am perishing with hunger. I know what I will do. I will arise. I'll go back to my Father's house. I will say, I'm not worthy to be your son. Make me like one of your servants. But the Father will say, I love your servant heart, but you are my son. I'm going to put a robe on your body. I'm going to put a ring on your fingers, sandals on your feet. And it's time to slay the fat of calf, because your life is worth celebrating. Father, we claim each and every single one of these people in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, give God a great shout. Give God a great shout. Hallelujah. I am over time, but this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to open it up for the ministry team to come forward. The band's going to sing one last song, just a stanza. If you need to go, God bless you. We'll see you this week. Is it Connect Week this week? No, it's not Connect Week. It's sign up for Emerge Week, though. Sign up for Emerge. If you're dating a man, and he doesn't sign up for Emerge, you need to question whether you should be dating him. Wives, do whatever you got to do to get your husband there. As a pastor, I've never given women a permission to nag, but if he's not going, nag, 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 nag. I promise you, you won't regret it. If you've got kids in the kids' church, you know, go and thank the kids' church workers. But right now, I want to open the altar. Listen, maybe you're looking at your life today and say, I just need some help changing my seed because I don't like what I'm reaping every year. I want to change my seed. Sometimes it takes courage. Sometimes you're in a season and you need to understand the end of the season. But it's so hard sometimes to leave the relationships and connections that were for that season and step into a new season. Speaking of stepping into a new season, come out here. I know you're on the ministry team, but I should pray for you guys. You guys are stepping into a new season. Hold hands. Stepping into a new season. Stepping into a new season. Stepping into a new season. And you were faithful in the season, but the seasons have changed. You're a mama now. Jenny, you're a mama. I named him Forrest. He's called Forrest too. It's a new season. It's a new season. Don't feel guilt, don't feel shame. It's a new season. But this is what I hear the Lord say. The Lord is with you in every season. He's not a summer God. He's not just a spring God. He's a winter, fall, spring, and summer God. And the Lord is with you in this season. And He's bringing things to you in this season. And there are things that you're going to learn in this season. The season is to complete you. The season is to mature you. That was a great season, but that season is over. There's a new season. There's a new season. There's a new cycle in motion. Father, we thank you for fresh oil. We thank you for fresh anointing on your son and daughter in Jesus' name. Maybe there's, I just hear it so strongly. There's some people you need to break out of your season. You need to break out of your season. You need to break out of your season. I'm going to have the ministry team pray for you. So come on, band. Let's sing this song. If you need prayer, why don't you let these powerful men and women take a moment to just love on you, to pray on you. Alex Clott, hang on a minute. Mr. and Mrs. Clott, get out here. These guys just come back from their honeymoon. Come on out here. I have to pray for these guys. This is Alex and Tanae Clott, otherwise known as Mr. and Mrs. Clott. And I love this man. He is an awesome man. And I just love your testimony. But I've got to tell you, you've done very well. Tanae is just magnificent. Hold hands, guys. And I just hear, and Tanae, I would never in my natural mind say this, but I just hear the Lord say, fear not. Fear not. Don't be afraid, says the Lord, to dream big, to believe big. The devil's tried to say, well, you know, there was delay, there was this guy and that guy and before this one, and can you really trust, and everything's convoluted. No, 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 no. Dream. Don't be afraid to dream. Don't be afraid to ask. And I see God doing an accelerating work, and I want you to know that both of you are marked for His service. Both of you are marked for His service. It's not just you married a man of God. No, no, he married a woman of God. You didn't just marry a guy that is anointed and appointed. He married a woman that is anointed and appointed. There's a great call of God. And literally I see my God, I see standing behind you, I see multitudes. I see multitudes, multitudes, multitudes who are in the kingdom because Alex and Tanae bowed their knee to the great Lord of hosts, the great King of kings, and said, here we are for your service. And I saw swords placed in your hands. I saw crowns and authority placed on your head. I saw a mantle placed upon your shoulders. And I saw you change the course of history and destiny for multitudes and multitudes and multitudes. Don't dream small. Small dreams won't capture all that I have for you. Dream big. See big. Ask big. Believe big. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Love you guys. Come on, if you want prayer, if you need any prayer, come on out, let one of these powerhouses. Come on, Pastor Andrew. Let's sing this great song.